Our subject today is the love of Christ for his people. The love of Christ for his people is greater than anyone in this room can imagine, stronger than anyone in this room can grasp. To be loved is something that we all long for, isn't it? As Bradley Cooper sings to Lady Gaga, "Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for?" As Lady Gaga sings back to Bradley Cooper, "Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more?" Our hearts seem to be restless to be loved, but never satisfied. The more we go on in life, I think, the more we realise that not even the best human relationships can fill that void. Work certainly can't. Instagram has 1.3 billion regular users. I'm not on Instagram, or am I? I don't think I'm on Instagram. I might be. If I am, I don't use it. Instagram is just a modern manifestation of that old, old longing that all humans have, to be loved. I remember seeing a woman just in the park. She must have been in her 40s, in a slinky dress, all made up. And she was sat on a bench, and her 8-year-old daughter was taking pictures of her posing on the bench. And I plucked up the courage just to ask, what do you do? What's happening here? And she said, "It's for my Instagram profile." Essena O'Neill, an Australian model, was well on the way to being an Instagram famous with 500,000 followers when she realised its emptiness. Quote, "I'm over this celebrity culture and obsession. It's silly and for the most part internally lonely and fake." She admitted she'd offered up her body for public admiration, posting selfies in order to be told she was beautiful and attractive. But the whole social media phenomenon, is it not an expression of our longing to be loved, to be significant to someone? We long to be loved, that much is clear. But where is the love that we long for to be found? It's so striking, isn't it? We've made all this progress technologically, massive technological triumphs. But in the West, anxiety, depression are at all-time highs. What is clear is that technology has no power to meet our longing to be loved. As I said, our subject today is the love of Christ, the Son of God, for his people. It is greater than anyone in this room can imagine and has grasped. And it is the love that we all long for. As we read through John's Gospel, what he's doing us is showing us what kind of Messiah Jesus is. You will know, some of you, that his purpose statement, "so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Yes, but what kind of Christ? Who is this Son of God? And as we go through, he defines what kind of Messiah Jesus is. He is the Word made flesh, God himself come to earth. He is the Son from the Father, fully divine. He is the bread of life, in whom we can have life. He is the light of the world for a dark world. And when we get to chapter 10, the burden of this whole chapter is to show us that he is also a shepherd for his people. He's also a shepherd for his people. And the burden of these verses that we have in front of us today, he is a shepherd who really loves his people. He loves them passionately and personally. And there was no limit to his love for them. Let me just read these verses. Look down again. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. We have here a claim and evidence. The claim is that he is the good shepherd. The evidence for the claim is that he lays down his life for the sheep. Can you see that in verse 11? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The claim, the evidence. And that's the point of comparison, isn't it? The fake runs away because they have no concern or concern for the welfare of the sheep. They don't care. The real shepherd, by contrast, the true shepherd of the sheep, well, you can know him by what he does, by what he's willing to do for them. That is the point. I am the good shepherd. You can know me because I'm the one who lays down my life for the sheep. In other words, the good shepherd is known through his death. And so Jesus says to us all here today, as I lay down my life, I want you to draw the right conclusion about what kind of saviour I am. That I am a shepherd who loves my sheep. But what's all this talking about? You may well be asking, and I hope we've got people in here who perhaps have never really sort of thought about these things before, wouldn't call yourselves Christians. And all this talk of farming and sheep and shepherds, you know, you've been sat at the desk and thinking about numbers, there hasn't been a single reference to a shepherd or a sheep this morning. What's going on here? Well, take a step back. Just imagine for a second God looking down from heaven. What can he see? He sees his precious flock, his people, in huge danger. What danger? It was the danger of sinking under the weight of their sin, headed for judgment and the destruction they deserved. It was danger that they couldn't see, but that he could. It was a wolf crouching that they were unaware of. Imagine the sheep grazing in the field. Unaware of the wolf, but God could see the danger. And the wolf was the wolf of death and judgment because of their sin. And now look at the conversation that happens between the Father and the Son in heaven. And that's where Jesus takes us in verse 18. He says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father." See those last words? "This charge I received from my Father." The Father said to the Son, "Son, I want you to be the shepherd of our sheep and to lay down your life for them." The Son said to the Father, "Father, I want to lay down my life for the sheep because I love them and because I love you." Do you see that in verse 18? "No one takes it from me." Now that's not just talking about people. It's also talking about his Father. His Father did not take his life from him. His Father gave him the charge. People did not take his life from him. He laid it down of his own accord. No one took it from him. He laid it down out of love for the sheep and for his Father. And so therefore the Son, given this commission by the Father to be the shepherd for the sheep, came down from heaven, took human form in order to lay down his life for the precious flock. You know that picture of the rabbit and the duck? You know that picture that can be a rabbit and a duck? The phenomenon of looking at the same thing and seeing different things. It's definitely a duck, by the way. If you ever see it, it's definitely a duck. It's not a rabbit. But anyway, that thing. Well, it's the same with the cross of Christ. Many will look at the death of Jesus. They'll read these accounts, and you may have this with your colleagues. Many will look at the death of Jesus, and they will see a myth or a tragedy. Maybe that's you here today. Jesus says to his sheep, "But can you see what's really happening as I lay down my life? I am the good shepherd laying down my life for the sheep." Can you see that? Just think for a moment what it means to have God, your creator, as your shepherd, who loves you forever. Could there be anything better than that? Not in a million years. To have God as my shepherd who loves me. Well, that is the love we look for on earth, but we'll never find, and you can look for it wherever you want, you will never find the love that will satisfy you except in the love of God your shepherd laid down for you. As an early Christian put it so well, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. You guys spend most of your lives in the cold, hard environment of the city. Sorry to put it like that. I mean, come and speak to me afterwards if that is not how it feels to you. The cold, hard environment of the city where it works like this. Perform and you're in. Fail and you're out. Are people loved in the workplace? Well, no. Tolerated. Respected. Befriended even, but loved, no. This city is packed full of people searching for acceptance, recognition, love, which cannot be found in a career. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. If you doubt it, look at what I did." We know him by what he did. The objective fact on the table. Not how I feel. Do I feel loved? No, nothing to do with that. Look at what I did, Jesus said. And then you will know that you are loved by the Good Shepherd. Known through his death, secondly though, originating in his heart. Sorry for the clunkiness of that second title. I didn't know, I couldn't think of a better way to say it. That is that his love for his people originates in his heart. And the point is that the Lord Jesus doesn't love his people because he died for them. He died for them because he loves them. You get the difference? It's a really important distinction there. We need to get the order right. When you take your wife a bunch of flowers, or when you buy your mum a box of chocolates on Mother's Day coming up, 19th of March, you can thank me later. Or when you buy your husband that craft beer, right, you don't give them the flowers or the beer or whatever it is, and then say, "Right, now you've got the flowers, I can love you." That's not the order. That's not what's happening. People often mistakenly think this about God, about the Lord Jesus. He hates his people until he dies for them. And then once their sin is cleansed, he can love them. Sure, only once sin is washed away, then only once that has happened, he can welcome his people into his presence and bring us back into relationship with him. But his love for us comes prior to the cross. His love is what brings him down from heaven to the cross. It originates in his heart. Just look down with me at verses 14 and 15. I think the core of these verses. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." I just want to pause on these words for a second because there's more to them than meets the eye. I said at the beginning that no one in this room, including myself, has begun to fathom the strength and depth of Christ's love for his people. Can you see the two words in those verses that surely cannot be true? The shock of them. You see them? Just as. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. What he's saying is almost unbelievable, and if it wasn't written and spoken by Jesus himself, we couldn't dare to believe it. How does the Father know the Son and the Son know the Father? He's not talking about knowing about, he's talking about the relationship that Father has with Son. So what he's saying is, I want you to take the intimacy and the commitment and the love that exists between the eternal Son and the eternal Father. You got that? Well, no, you haven't got it, because it's impossible for any human mind to conceive. I want you to take that same intimacy and commitment and love, and to know that that is the intimacy and commitment of love that exists between shepherd and sheep. What kind of love, therefore, does the shepherd have for his sheep? Well, what words could describe it? Passionate, intimate, personal, ferocious, never-ending, stopping at nothing. And notice verse 15, it is out from this love that he therefore lays down his life for the sheep. So get the order right. Jesus is a shepherd who really loves his sheep. And the question is, not does he love us, but can we accept it? Many Christians struggle to believe that we're loved because of our constant failings and sin. I wonder if that's you. We know we're wretched, and we're right. We're right about that. And we think that perhaps our sin dampens his love for us. He may love others, but not me. You ever wonder that? Well, if that's you, take comfort from these verses. Sin does not dampen the love of Christ for his people, nor does it affect it in any way. But rather, sin, your sin and mine, is what brought him on his mission of love from heaven as the shepherd to protect us forever. I just want us to notice as well how personal his love is. Yes, he died for our sins, that's true. But can you see here? That's not how he phrases it. Who does he lay down his life for? His sheep. We see here that he died for you. Again, know what kind of saviour you have. That's what these verses are about if you're a Christian. The love of Christ for his people is personal because he's a shepherd. He does not save by the batch, but by the individual. Just as he knows his Father individually, so he knows each of his sheep individually. Remember the blind man from chapter 9, the model sheep, the individual. This, by the way, is what allows the Apostle Paul in Galatians to speak of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Yes, for my sins, but Jesus says to you, for you. Well, do you believe that as he went to the cross, he had you in mind? An individual. Why are these verses written? I take it simply so that the sheep might know what kind of saviour they have. A shepherd who loves them all individually and passionately. We have friends who have adopted two children. And anyone who's adopted children knows that one of the great challenges of the first months and even years is to persuade the children in all of their doubts that they're loved They won't believe it for weeks, for months, perhaps even for years, but the aim is in the end to persuade them that they're loved. Well, it's a bit like that for the Christian and anyone who would come to Christ. Jesus having won us to himself, there's still a great work in persuading us of how loved we are. And I don't know if you're a Christian here today. I don't know how things are between you and the Lord Jesus. He wants to say to you through these verses, can you see what kind of Saviour I am to you? I'm a shepherd. I love you. I've got you forever. And if you're hearing these things and you're not a Christian, you've not yet made a commitment to him, well, I think the question for you is, can you hear his voice in the scriptures? Will you follow it? Because if you can and if you will, you will prove yourself to be a sheep for whom Jesus has died. Well, as I close, finally, these words that many of you will know. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That is the Lord Jesus, the Son from the Father. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Through these verses, the Lord Jesus says, I am that shepherd. And you can know that because I have laid down my life for the sheep. Let's pray as we close. Lord Jesus, we come to you now and we thank you that you have shown yourself to be the true shepherd by what you did. By not running away, but by coming down from the glory of heaven and laying down your life on a cruel cross to take our sin and punishment so that we might have life and have it to the full. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are so passionately committed to each one of your sheep, even though we don't deserve it. We pray for this city, Father. We pray that many more people might come to know the love, the only love that can satisfy us, the love of Christ for his people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.